Here we go. Welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast, where we share stories of personal transformation and life lessons through our experiences of traveling and exploring the world. Travel is the ultimate accelerator for personal growth, and it can be the root catalyst for the pivots and plot twists we make in our lives. I'm your host, Kelly Tolliday, and it's my mission to inspire you to live life to its fullest. Travel with an open mind and heart, and let the world show you a new perspective. I'm so grateful you're here with us today, so let's dive right in. Happy exploring. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Transform with Travel podcast. I am so excited today because this episode is the first episode that I've interviewed since November of 2023. So I took a little break of interviewing because we had so much interest from guests all around the world to join the podcast. And we had so many episodes that it lasted us all the way up until now. So I took a little pause from interviewing. And just a couple weeks ago, I got back to getting to my schedule of interviews with amazing guests, and today is one of them. So I'm super excited to introduce Annika Paradise of the book The Wonder Year. And today we're going to dive into loads of different topics around family travel, family gap years, the importance of giving your family this time to travel together, adventure together, what it does for your family on a psychological level, an emotional level. So it's really, really exciting. And after this episode today, you will hear an amazing lineup of guests that have been interviewed recently. So it's just a really exciting new chapter for the podcast. You might have also noticed that our cover art for the podcast, our branding has changed slightly. Still the same brand, just a slightly elevated, updated look. So hopefully you're really liking the new branding. We're sticking with this really nice gold color, and I really hope that you like it, love it. And if you do, I highly recommend you hit subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you really, really love the podcast, then please rate and review. It just helps me so, so, so much in being able to get amazing guests on board, get amazing partners and sponsors to be able to continue to run this show. It's been almost 9 months of podcasting now, actually almost a year at this stage since the inception of the podcast and really kicking it off. And it's just been such a journey of learning and understanding, really just like learning a lot of technical stuff. I did most of the editing through this whole podcast. All of the background work has mainly been mostly me up until this point, now that I have an amazing team behind me. But it's just been such an incredible journey, and I'm so excited to kick off these new rounds of episodes with a refreshed, revitalized, just absolute love for travel and be able to share that with you. So without further ado, here goes the episode. Thank you so much for being here. I'm grateful for you, each and every one of you. Every day I wake up and just I do a little happy dance that there are people listening and people wanting to learn more about how to explore. So here we go. Welcome to the episode. Hello and welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast. I am your host, Kelly Tolliday, and I am so excited to be here today with Annika Paradise from The Wonder Year, which is just a wealth of knowledge for family travel and Wonder Year, which is a form of family gap year. I'm so excited to be able to share all this information because so many of our families that listen and so many of our travelers that listen are just interested in how do I travel with my kids on the road? I kind of feel this urge to take 3 months off or a whole year off, and you guys have done the work. You've had boots on the ground, and then you put it all together in your brain hive and made a fantastic book, a fantastic resource. So I'm so excited to be able to introduce you to our community. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
And so, Annika, I'll share a little bit about the bio that you shared with me, but I'd love for you to be able to say it in your own words as well. Annika caught the travel bug young, devouring maps in the same way her peers did novels. As a Peace Corps volunteer in Thailand and later as a student travel guide with Where There Be Dragons, she witnessed the transformational power of cross-cultural immersion and wanted to share the experience with her family. Annika has taught preschool, middle, and high school, led summer experiential trips, and currently teaches English at Fort Range Community College. She holds an MA in education from Stanford University and an MFA in creative writing from Vermont College of Fine Arts. When she's not dreaming of the next big trip, She enjoys reading and writing middle grade novels and adventuring in the outdoors. You're also the co-owner of Paradise Found Record Shop. Super cool. Annika Paradise and her husband, Will, world schooled their three children across three continents and 12 countries, including Nepal, Laos, China, Cambodia, New Zealand, Costa Rica, Italy, and Greece. So, wow, I am so excited to share your experience with our group. And thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, I'm so happy to talk with you today.
So it seems like traveling and exploring, especially more unexplored, off the beaten path places, has been a passion for you since a young age. Can you explain maybe where that passion started from or how that has been woven into your story?
Yeah, and travel has really been transformative for me in my life. I would say the first time I remember catching that bug, I was probably in middle school. And we were driving from our home in the Bay Area to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And so we drove our VW van, just like in Little Miss Sunshine, and we drove that van all the way across Nevada. And there's very little out there. And we had something called a triptych. I don't even know if people know what those are anymore.
Oh,
it was from AAA. And you'd like flip the page over and you could see what was near you. So Native American reservations, all kinds of things were going on along the road. And sometimes there were these frontage roads that, you know, some truck was kicking up dust. And I thought, I wonder who they are and where they're going. It was so different from where I grew up in the Bay Area that it just made me just hunger for kind of exploring what was out there. Also, that same trip, my mother had passed away when I was 8. And so we were a family of 4 trying to figure out who we were together as a family of 3. Mm. I have a sister. And so for me, that was like this, it was a way to put parentheses around something that was really difficult. And we didn't know how to move forward, but we just started moving. And then if I can look back, everything in my life, everything in our family life started to take shape again. So it was a way to move through grief, through difficulty.
Mm, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I always say that travel helps you shed some of those layers of yourself so you can get closer to who you are at your core, because you don't have all these things coming at you all the time, especially as an adult, that's distracting you from who your true essence is. So to be able to have that experience at such a young age, such a transformational experience through grief, and then also forging a new path with your family, seems like such a pivotal step in becoming who you are today. And would you say that time together as a family, when you were trying to figure out, as you say, from family of 4 to family of 3, do you think that helped shape the importance of time spent together as a family on the road? Do you think that helps your idea of how you wanted to raise your own family when you were older?
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's, you know, my dad didn't know how to be a single parent, really. I mean, he was learning too. And so I feel like it was like team bonding in some way. Like, okay, nobody knows what we're going to do here. But I could see my dad as kind of a beginner. He wasn't the adult with all the answers. But also when you're home, you're in the context of people who knew you from before. And so it's hard to step into that next stage of who you are without kind of shaking things up like you can with travel. Mm. And I feel like as a mom, so fast forward, we were trying to figure out who we were as my husband was shifting careers, our kids were growing up, and we could be that beginner for our kids.
Yeah.
And so our kids saw us like, I don't know how to find the bathroom. I don't know how to do all these things. And so it shakes up the dynamic of a family. And I think that has been, from hindsight, that was one of the best gifts from our time traveling full time.
I love that so much. I've never really thought about it in that capacity of shaking up kind of that hierarchical parents always know right, parents always know best mindset into we're a team together as a family. And of course, there's like safety parameters and things that you and as an adult know more than a child would know. But I think about that a lot. My daughter will always ask me, like she's about to go ride her bike, do you promise I'm not going to fall? And I was like, I can't promise you that. I can't promise that you're not going to fall. And it's like, wait, what? She's looking at me like, what? Yeah, that's not the right answer. But it's interesting as an adult to accept that you don't know all the answers and let your kids in on that. And like that it's a learning journey as you go. Well, thank you for sharing that. So part of your journey is that you left for the Peace Corps for Thailand in Krabi, Thailand, which I've been to, and just what a wild experience. I'd love to hear a little bit about that experience for you as the Peace Corps and then your decision to continue to work with children in that capacity, but through those summer programs, through a program called Where There Be Dragons.
Sure. Yeah. So I remember I was in college and I had taken Spanish from kindergarten. I was in a bilingual kindergarten all the way through. It was my minor in college. And I said, I'm going to join the Peace Corps so I can actually get fluent. And then when I got the invitation to the Peace Corps, they said Thailand.
Yeah.
And I'm not shy to admit, I had to run to the bookstore and find A Lonely Planet and say, where in the world is Thailand?
Right.
Like, do I want to accept this? And so I said, yeah, serendipity. There's something happening. I'm supposed to go. And I loved my time in Thailand. So yeah, I was, you know, it's 4 months of training where you have to pass a foreign service exam in Thai. And then you go to your Peace Corps site. And I was a public school teacher teaching both middle and high school and teacher trainings. And on the weekends, I got to work with women's groups. And they were kind of, they wanted to do for lending projects out in the islands. And so I would take my motorcycle. You're not supposed to have a motorcycle in Thailand, so I hate to admit that. But I took my motorcycle up these ramps onto a long-tail boat to go out to islands to work with them on income generation projects.
Wow.
And it was, you know, gosh, talk about like an experience where you're living so far from where you grew up, eating with my hands, no utensils, no electricity on some of these islands. Mm. You know, now there's tourism there. But I'll tell you, one of my first projects was on Riley Beach.
Oh, beautiful.
G'day mates from the land down under. Just kidding. I'm right here in South Florida enjoying a true blue Aussie coffee, pastry, and meat pie at my absolute favorite cafe here in South Florida, Bite and Coffee. That's B-Y-T-E and Coffee, located in Lighthouse Point. Bite and Coffee is owned and managed by the absolute best couple from down under, Dan and Kat, who moved to South Florida from Melbourne, Australia with the dream of bringing the incredible Aussie cafe culture to the States. As someone who's lived in Australia for 5 years, I surely do miss my Aussie flat white coffee, brekkie buns, and sausage rolls. But what I miss more is the sense of community when you step inside your favorite cafe. You know that feeling when you walk in and they already know your order and it's ready to go? Yeah, that kind of feeling. Bite and Coffee brings the good vibes, delicious food and coffee, and the true sense of family. I can bring my little girls for breakfast and know that they are welcomed. If you're living in South Florida or just visiting and passing by, I highly recommend heading over to Bite and Coffee and grabbing a coffee with your breakfast or lunch, or even checking out their incredible wine and beer selection with a delicious charcuterie board at night. It's the perfect spot for a catch up with a friend or a business meeting. As a special gift to listeners, when you order at Bite, be sure to mention Transform with Travel for 10% off your order. So go ahead and check it out. Bite and Coffee, located in Lighthouse Point.
There was one guest house starting when I was there, and I helped them translate their menu.
Wow.
Because they had their menu in Thai, and they didn't know, like, what can we make for these farang, is the word they use for foreigners. So what can I make for these farang? And by the time I left, there were probably 20 guest houses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went there in 2015 and Instagram was starting to get into that, starting to make places explode. And I think I remember there being like one viral post or something about Raleigh and boom, everyone was going.
Yeah. So
wow.
Also to see the big, I think, experience with that is my village was kind of in the middle of the peninsula. So I was in Krabi, but I was almost like the tour buses that went from Coatepec to right through my village.
Oh, okay.
And so to see, to live with the people who tourists pass by, kind of gave me a really different perspective on those places that get really touristed.
Absolutely. I have a very similar experience. We decided to teach English in Surat Thani, which is on the other side of Southern Thailand. You're on the West Coast. I was on the East Coast. But same thing, people would take buses or fly into Surat and then just immediately hop on the boats and go off to Koh Samui, Koh Phangan, to Koh Tao. And no one's really hanging out in Surat Thani. That's just like the jump off point, right? And so it was cool for me, as you say, one of my favorite things is like looking into the lives of the people that are living there rather than just it being a cool photo or a beautiful beach. Like I wanted to know what it was like to be in this village. And it's cool to get a very real sense of what it is like to live there. So that's amazing. And so that was a really young formative experience for you right out of college. Can you explain what that was like maybe coming home and how you forged your own path after that?
Well, let me fast forward to say that it was extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And we put an entire chapter in our book about reentry.
Yes.
With the Peace Corps, you have a 3-day conference. It's called COS, Close of Service Conference, where they prep you on reverse culture shock. And I feel like I was prepped because I'd had that experience. But so many traveling families maybe don't know what's going to happen to them when they return home, whatever home means after doing something like this. Mm-hmm. It was difficult. I feel like the amount of options at the grocery store was completely overwhelming to me. I remember brushing my teeth. You'll probably get this because in Thailand, the bathrooms are just like a shower floor. Mm-hmm. It's usually the same room as the shower. And so I just kept spitting my toothpaste out onto the floor.
Yeah.
I had just been doing it for 2 years and I just kept doing that. My family was not pleased.
Yeah. It takes me forever to get used to brushing my teeth and not brushing with bottled water.
Yes.
Or like
exactly.
Going to the bathroom and not putting the toilet paper in the bin next to the toilet it takes forever to get used to those. But those are the small little things that you don't realize are going to sneak up on you. Like, oh, I'm not at home. And one of the women who I've spoken to on the podcast, she's on episode 34. She was in the Peace Corps, but she was in Cameroon. And the same thing, she talks about having like a complete like panic attack in the grocery store because she couldn't figure out what deodorant to go buy because there were so many options. I do appreciate in your book talking about that reentry process and the reverse culture shock, I think, is harder sometimes than the culture shock going to the new country because you're expecting it to be different.
Exactly.
And you're coming home and you're not expecting you to be different anymore.
And I think the people around you are not expecting that it will be difficult. Mm. And so you know, if you're coming back to the same place, you know, where you lived before, people are just like, oh, you're home. We can continue as we did before. But they don't realize how much you have changed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's hard for people to understand the experiences that you had that are so foreign, so different, so exotic that even just trying to tell the story, there's some sort of cognitive dissonance happening that the fullness of the story isn't getting conveyed, nor is it being fully understood. And that's why it's important to go when you're going on trips and you meet people to stay in contact with those people so you can have that connection. Or perhaps you're going on a retreat or a group travel tour like what we do with my business, or having a community of world schoolers or Wonder Year families on Facebook or meetup groups and stuff like that. So you came home from the Peace Corps, you decided to join a group called Where There Be Dragons. Can you just explain a little bit about what that was and why those specific trips interested you?
Sure, yeah. And there was a little bit in between where I came home and actually the first job I got was in refugee resettlement.
Oh, wow.
And it was actually the perfect job because, you know, I could understand that culture shock. And I felt like, okay, I understood on a different level. Mm. And then I was a public school teacher and I worked with Where There Be Dragons in the summers to start. So Where There Be Dragons is this really cool organization. They're based here in Boulder, Colorado, which is why I moved here and never left. And Where There Be Dragons is what they used to write on the edge of the maps in China when they didn't know what was out there.
Oh, wow. So cool.
And so it's the mission is to get off the beaten tourist path. And so that really spoke to me. We led trips. I led the ones that went through Thailand and Laos.
Cool.
And we did homestays, service projects, language every morning. So the students are learning how to speak Thai. And Lao is just a little bit different. It's like they're very closely related.
Yeah, okay.
And just a wonderful experience to be able to go back to my village and bring students there and have that kind of continued interaction. Most of the leaders who work there are returned Peace Corps volunteers or academics. But really getting to know students and watch them have that process of like totally getting out of their comfort zone. On the airplane over, we used to fly from Los Angeles. And on the airplane over, most of the students would be talking about, what's your reach school? What's your safety school? Mm. And, you know, one of the reasons that they do these kinds of trips is to have the experience to write about for their college essays. A lot of students who do Dragon's trips are from kind of the higher socioeconomic groups. And so many of them, this was such a transformative experience. And I got to watch that because on the flight home, the conversation was, who do I want to be in the world? Mm-hmm. How am I going to change the way I'm living? And that, seeing that transformation in students was like, I don't have anyone I want to marry on the horizon. This is what I want to do with my family because I want to see those precious moments.
Oh, I literally just got chills. Like, that's how the world changes. That's how the world changes, is people who are privileged to be born in certain standards and certain levels of, like, as you said, socioeconomic brackets, to be able to have the resources to make the changes because they've had boots on the ground and experiences and cultural exchanges. And so I think this is a really great segue to speak about your project, your book, your lifestyle, The Wonder Year. And I have it here for those watching on YouTube here on my Kindle, a beautiful cover. The book is called Wonder Year, A Guide to Long-Term Family Travel and World Schooling. And it's written by you and your friends, Julie and Angela. And it is an amazing guide for parents, whether they're looking for a full year, whether they're looking for little intro trips. You guys go through the whole gamut from A to Z and everything in between, maybe some extra letters in Greek and things like that. You guys go through everything about how to make this as seamless as a process as possible. And you do state in the book, part of the journey is making some of these mistakes on your own and you know, finding your way through challenges as a family. And so I would love to hear from you, what is a wonder year and how, let's just start with that. What is a wonder year?
A wonder year is a season of discovery. It's not a literal year, but it's a time, you know, we had worked on this book for 5 years before it was published. COVID happened, we went back and forth. But what we really thought is that what holds it all together is this quest for wonder and the idea that we want to invite more of it into our lives. And then year is really this intentional season of discovery. So that's what it is.
Yeah. And I love it. I love the play on like a gap year, but it's wonder year for you and your family, and especially tying into this growing trend and growing consideration from families of world schooling. And so taking it back a step, now that we know what a wonder year is, how did you and your family get to the stage of deciding we're going to take this adventure for ourselves? And how did that play out for you? What did you learn?
Yeah, I mean, I decided when I was working with Dragons that I wanted to do this. And then when I met my husband, he had done a lot of travel too. So he, you know, spent many years in Nepal and, you know, public bus over the Karakoram Highway.
Oh my like, God.
Really intense travel as yeah. well. And so it was a no-brainer for us. And we started saving for it just as you would a college fund for your kids. We felt like this would be a more kind of important learning experience and would shape our kids into give them the values that we had about how transformational travel can be. So that would be more important to us than necessarily saving up for college. We figured we'd get there, mm-hmm. but first let's give them this educational opportunity. So once we decided we wanted to do that, I used a lot of what I knew from working with dragons. And then I had my friend Julie Frieder, who's my co-author. Our kids were in preschool together. We were in a book club together. And she did her year mostly in the United States in an RV visiting national parks. And so there were parts of her experience that were really helpful to me. Like, how do you close up life at home? And how do you find a renter? How do you do all these different things? And so she was very helpful to me. And then I had a friend from high school who mentioned, I have this friend who just moved to Boulder who traveled with her family for 2 years. And so it was an introduction from a mutual friend. And then I got to meet Angela Heaston, my other co-author. And she had so many things to tell me. Like, people are going to tell you you're irresponsible. Don't listen to them. People are going to tell you this. Like, it was kind of that, you got it. Like, you can do this. Because there was, you know, little things on the internet at that time, some family blogs, 360 Degrees Longitude was a great book that I think a lot of people in the early days of this read. But there wasn't a book. There wasn't kind of the world schooling Facebook groups as there are today. There weren't the resources that we have today. Mm. So it was really kind of that one degree of separation, like finding people who could give me what I needed to get off the ground.
Yeah. One of our past guests, Lauren Klein, she talks about she started her own law firm, her own boutique law firm, in order to create a life of freedom and be able to travel. But she always says, she's like, I'm not going to ask the guy who's, you know, 20-year partner at a law firm how to build their own boutique firm. They've never walked 2 steps in my shoes. I'm going to talk to the people who have done what I have and listen to them and take their advice. And so I think that's why your book is so powerful, because all three of you have done your own versions of Wonder Years in your own way. And so there's really something for every reader who is trying to build up the courage, the resilience, the practical tools. I was just feeling so inspired reading your book, but then I was also like, oh yeah, that's the safety precaution that I should take. Oh yeah, I should contact my embassy nearby. I should, you know, all these little practical tips that add up, because the practicality of it builds your confidence. Because you can have all the inspiration in the world, but then when you're like sitting at 2 a.m. at night starting to get worried about it, and you start thinking, what if one of us gets sick? What if this happens? What if that happens? And you guys cover as much as you possibly could cover, including adding in all this stuff about COVID. So that's amazing that you guys were able to work together as a team to do that and share the inspiration. So I would love for you to talk about a little bit, and you talk a lot about this in the book, so I encourage everyone to go read it. But what for you personally with your family, what did you find were some of the biggest hurdles to overcome when you were either about to embark on your Wonder Year, or perhaps on the Wonder Year? What were some of those challenges that you see were you were facing at that time?
Well, you know, in our family speak, we called it the big trip. And so they knew it was coming. You know, we kept saying, in 2 years, we're going to take the big trip. And so they were familiar with it. But when my oldest left, she was in the 7th grade. And so that was probably one of the biggest hurdles, because friends are so important at that age. So that was a big hurdle. So with her to kind of overcome that, you know, we did Zoom birthday party for her. We stayed 3 months in New Zealand, and she was on, it's called a surf life rescue team.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's like open ocean swim, right. And they do all these kind of events.
It's like junior lifeguards. That's what we have here in Florida. But they call exactly. it, in Australia, they call it nippers, or they'll call it surf life saving. Yeah.
Yeah. So in New Zealand, she was on a team there, and she was also on a swim team. And so we could get them plugged in those kinds of things. Also in New Zealand, we could do summer camps. So it really kind of helped that social obstacle. Mm. The other big obstacle for us was work and money, right? So my husband had retired from Whole Foods there was no way he could work for Whole Foods remotely. No way.
Yeah.
So he had retired from Whole Foods, and this was part of kind of the family life plan. And then he bought a record store. And we spent kind of that year before we left really getting a manager ready to go. So how we could, that was really how we funded our trip, as well as getting our home, our primary residence, ready for renting. So between those two income streams, we definitely either broke even or made money. Awesome. Because we weren't going to expensive countries, you know?
Right. And I mean, that's the intentionality behind it too. In the book, you talk about you went to Thailand and where else was it? It was Laos, Nepal, Cambodia. Like you went to all these places for your own personal reasons, of course, but then you went to other countries that were Spanish speaking for educational purposes. And it sounds like New Zealand was well timed and well placed for summer camps and social reasons. And so there's such an intentionality behind where you're going and why, and finances definitely play a big role in it. We just went to, did 5 weeks through Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. And yes, it's expensive to get there. Of course, there are expenses, but the day-to-day living in Thailand is way cheaper than it is here. That's why we travel a little farther and a little longer. So it makes a big difference. So that's great. I remember when I was in eighth grade. So my sister was just, I was about to go into my ninth grade year into high school. And my sister was just about to enter into middle school. And my dad got an opportunity to go work in Sydney, Australia. And I was like, let's go. I'm so excited. Yes. You know, I loved Mary-Kate and Ashley. Our lips are sealed. Like, I love the movie. But my sister was like, no, I can't leave my friends. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. I can't leave. And it really, it plays a big, you know, role in your mind as a parent when your kids get to that age of really having an opinion and really having those connections formed. So that's great advice for those that are listening who have, you know, sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders, to be able to find ways to connect them.
I will say one other thing on that point is that there was some, you know, she wasn't super happy about leaving friends in her social scene, but she did get over that. And the time that we had together, like, I was her bestie. And to be able to have that for a middle school child, especially mother-daughter in our case, it was very well timed. I think it was a very good thing, even though there was some resistance. Keep going.
Yeah. Can you, talking of benefits of a Wonder Year, from your own personal experience, of course, but what were some of the top things that you walked away from that you didn't really, maybe you didn't expect that to be one of the like biggest benefits of having all that time together and traveling the world together?
Well, I'll start with my husband and I, because I do feel like, you know, we had to relate to each other on such a different level. Like, it had to be teamwork. And you're together 24/7. It's kind of like that COVID thing, right? Where all of a sudden you're like, wow, I have never spent so much time with you.
Right.
and so that was a really, that was a great thing, because we had our roles at home. And then all of a sudden it was like totally rejiggered the roles and responsibilities within our relationship. And I think that ultimately strengthened our marriage. Mm. For sure. It did.
I really appreciate you saying that, because oftentimes we talk about traveling with kids as the benefit to the child, which of course there are thousands of benefits, but there's not much conversation around the benefit to your relationship as partners. And so I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of nuance there. We also have another chapter in the book about family dynamics.
Yes.
And we talk a lot about kind of, you have to articulate the roles and responsibilities. But with the kids, I'd say my youngest kind of said, I think, some of the most profound things to me about kind of benefits that are still with him today. When we were kind of wrapping up our year, he said to me, there's nobody out there that's weird. Aww. They're just different. Because everywhere we go, we're weird. But we're just different. Like, to experience always being the weird one, I think profoundly changed all of us. Mm. Because it's, you know that feeling of like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Like, to have that kind of, you know, being a beginner all day, every day, not exactly knowing what's going on, I think really impacted all of us.
Wow.
The other big takeaway, and I think this is kind of getting back to like Peace Corps roots, is like everyone that we met was good and kind. And my kids kept saying that. Mm. Like everyone we meet, you know, China is so maligned in the news. But when he's in school reading about, you know, some current event with China, in his mind, it's, well, that's the government. The people are really good and kind.
Wow.
And everywhere, you know, Nepal, like we've since been to Egypt and Kenya after our year. And just to have that sense of the goodness and kindness of the world, I think really buffers a lot of the stress that teenagers are feeling. But they have that in their toolkit.
Yeah, absolutely. As well as the time that you spend together, especially as you know, with older children, when you're at home, it's school and then travel soccer team and then studying and then this and then drama and then this. And it's like, where's the time for us? And so something that you guys talked a lot about in the book was the time as a family, of course, building those bonds, but there was all these other unique benefits of time together. And one of the things that I wanted to point out was the comments from all three of you about stronger immune systems. And so, mm-hmm. of course, you think about when you're traveling together as a family on planes and new environments, new water. One of the things that I get nervous the most about traveling with my kids is somebody getting sick and somebody catching a bug and somebody doing this. And all three of you in the book mentioned that for the most part, bar a couple stomach bugs, maybe a little cold here and there, which is just a natural part of being human in this world. For the most part, most of your families were all really healthy. And this one quote that I really loved was, Annika's family seemed to have stronger immune systems from more sleep, fresh air, and together time than the hectic pace at life. While one may chalk this up to luck, it's just as likely that a travel lifestyle with more time and less stress makes for a more physically resilient human. And I really love that. I was like, oh my God, I never thought about the time together and the way that our nervous systems can co-regulate together. And we don't all know this, but a lot of us who work in self-care and you do a lot of yoga and wellness know that when your nervous system is regulated and calm, your body can fight. Your immune system can fight diseases and colds and all that better. I never thought about how together time was, as a family, so directly linked to stronger immune system or getting less sick on the road and, of course, the fresh air. So I really love, my mind was blown when I saw that quote. I loved that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, we didn't have as many colds or, you know, bugs during that year than we do at even this year at home. So much of that can just be we're pulled off our centers when we are at home with all the hectic schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our kids caught a little bit of a cold when we were in Thailand because our nieces and nephews from Australia came with a little bit of a cold. You know, they're all on top of each other because they're excited to see each other. But apart from that, everyone was really healthy and we came home and within a week we all got COVID. I was like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, I think we're allergic to America. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we just immediately went like right back into, you know, after 5 weeks away into a full schedule. And so, yeah, I definitely agree with that. And some of the other benefits that you guys list in the book, which I really love, was cognitive flexibility and feeding a child's curiosity. And you guys write, I'll quote here, one of the fundamental truths of travel is that it offers many new experiences, thus promoting cognitive flexibility, the brain's ability to jump from one set of ideas to another. Traveling is rich with novel experiences at every turn, every day, down every trail. There are unexpected sparks and nonstop innovation. I love this part. We learn to think outside the box because we are outside of our box. And as kids, how powerful that is to see, as you said, you as parents navigate being outside of your comfort zone and how much that helps them build their own cognitive flexibility and feeding their own curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah. We all, I think, feel so much more alive when we're traveling because we're kind of using all of ourselves. We can't go on autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, we're fully inhabiting what it means to be human.
100%.
And that's it, right? I mean, that's what we're here for.
Exactly. No, I love that. Fully inhabiting this experience as a human. I love that. And I think that's, so my daughter's 3. Mm-hmm. When, before we left for our trip, when we've traveled with her before, but she was super young. So there wasn't a lot of, you know, she's obviously taking stuff in, but there wasn't a lot of the feedback coming from her verbally. And now there is. And so before we left for our trip, I would be like, hey, do you want to go to dance class? Do you want to go to tennis? Do you want to go to the beach? No, I want to stay home. I want to stay home. I want to stay home. And now after the trip, every day after school, she asked me, where are we going to next? What are we going to do next? And like, she's excited to get out there and see the world. And she's only 3. And I think that's just so, just like such a small change in a little girl who just wanted to stay at home to now, what are we doing? I'm just like, let's get right out there. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I'll share really quickly. So my daughter, we live in Boulder, Colorado, which is not known for its oceans. And my daughter is a freshman in college now, and she is studying marine biology.
Wow.
From her
That's more for like the Florida and the California girls growing up. Everyone wants to be a marine biologist when they live in Florida, California, but you don't hear about that from the Colorado girls usually.
Right. And so it was time in the ocean. Like, we spent so much time in oceans, and you know, her passion is coral reef preservation, and they're doing a lot of coral splicing. She's at University of Hawaii.
Wow.
And so like the ability to go that far from home and to know like, this is what is most important to me is saving coral reefs. And so that passion or that curiosity in your 3-year-old, if you kind of help that, you know, they really start, okay, this is really what my life purpose is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so things, their whole lives, it doesn't have to be, I don't know, alpine climate or, you know, the things that are around them here.
Wow. I love that so much. It's just, there's so many benefits that we could go into, and there's so many stories I know. The last thing that I would love for you to just kind of share a little bit about is if a family is interested in going on a Wonder Year, read your book, read Wonder Year. It's just so amazing. But for those that are listening right now, if you could give just like one piece of advice to a family who's in the starting stages of developing this plan for themselves, what would you say to them?
I would say that there's a way. If you want to do this, there is a way. And we try to give, you know, go through every single obstacle that families might be facing and try to find the way around the obstacle. Mm. And we've met so many people who said, I always wanted to do that, but you know, it just was never the right time. And now their kids are grown and they're like, it's one of my biggest regrets. We meet so many people. We've been doing a lot of different travel and adventure shows and homeschooling conferences and things. And I just keep thinking, well, it's never convenient to pack up and travel for an extended amount of time. So if it's important to you, do it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be one of those people who, you know, it's harder when kids are in high school. I will say that. To do this. So
yeah,
it's possible. But if you want to do it, set the intention, read our book, hopefully it's helpful, and make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, like, and you think, oh, we have until they go to college. But just as you said, once they hit high school, of course, there's always, if there's a will, there's a way, you can make it happen. But from what I hear from families that have done something similar is it is easier when they're a little bit younger and there's less of the pressures of the different clubs and the sports and everything like that. So it's definitely, if you have a kid in high school and you're listening, it is never too late. However, if you have a younger child and you're considering it, it's definitely something that I hear is a big piece of advice is, like you said, don't wait, just start planning and reach out to people who have been down the path before. It helps you build that confidence for sure. Amazing. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to finish this episode with rapid fire questions. For those who have been listening to the podcast for a while, you've heard these questions over and over again, and I've decided to switch them up. So they're going to be new questions. This is the first time that we're doing this. But there's three questions, and then afterwards, I'll give you all the time in the world to share how people can connect with you. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, so the first question is, what country or place, doesn't have to just be a country, it could be a place or a town, what country or place has made the biggest impact on you?
Definitely Thailand.
Can you say why?
Oh, I thought we were doing rapid fire.
No, I know.
But I have so much to say about
that. Well, now I'm interested, so now I need to know.
So I think Thailand because I really got to know it. So maybe that's not a fair one. But I would say the idea, they have a saying of Jayen, which means have a cool heart, which is not to react with emotion, but to react from kind of a deeper place. And I'm constantly thinking, I'm constantly saying to myself when I can't figure out my portal and my password, like Jayen or a phone tree, Jayen Yen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I would say that and just the grace that are an ideal in Thailand that I think America's a bit more like efficient. Done is good enough. Thailand, like they have an entire class that public school kids all are required to take on fruit carving, like to how to make something beautiful on a plate. I try to remember, you know, to just beauty has its important value
exactly
in one's life.
Yes. They place the importance on that. And I love that so much. There is a beautiful retreat center / accommodation called Jayen on Koh Yao Noi in Phang Nga Bay. Yeah. And so I love that word. And then two, I just reminded me of that beautiful space. And another thing that I love, the slang or the language is Sabai Sabai, which is, you know, as you would know all about, like everything is cool. Everything's fine. Like just everything is, take a deep breath. We're all good. And I just love that so much. We use that a lot on our retreat in Thailand that we did in January. We took guests, mostly American guests, over to Thailand. And every time something came up, as it does in Thailand, we would all just look to each other and say, sabai, sabai, everything's cool.
Sabai, sabai.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Number two, what is your go-to travel accessory or like your must-have item when you travel?
There's two I want to say. One is a journal.
Love it.
I always want to be able to write, and it's not the same for me with typing. I really need to hand write. The other thing that I always keep with me is a 50-cent plastic whistle.
Oh yes, this was in your book. Yes. Okay, tell the story.
Well, Peace Corps director, when we were leaving to go to our sites after our training, she handed everyone a whistle. And she waited until we kind of affixed it to it's called a yam. It's like these kind of Thai bags everyone uses. So she waited until we made it affixed to it. And it is probably, especially a woman traveling alone or living alone or a kid, it is a really easy and safe kind of self-defense. Mm. Like I had one moment where it was not going to end well. When I was in the Peace Corps, and I used the whistle, and it saved me.
Wow.
It drew attention. It scared them off. The whole thing.
Okay. 50-cent whistle. Put it to your backpack. These are the types of tips that you get in this book that you wouldn't think of that are potentially life-saving, definitely making life easier, but especially in this specific tip. It costs virtually nothing and it is amazing. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the last one is what is kind of a biggie. What is the biggest life lesson that you've learned while you're traveling?
Yeah, I would say, I'm going to plagiarize from my son that the world is good and kind. Mm. And that, you know, my husband tells a story of trekking in, I think it was Western Tibet, and a snowstorm started and he didn't know what to do. And so he went into some home and just kind of laid down. And it was you know, a woman came in and here's this like foreign man, and they couldn't communicate language wise. And she made him a cup of tea. She didn't kick him out. She made him a cup of tea. And then she had two daughters that came home in the night and they weren't afraid of him. And they made him breakfast. Mm. And then the next morning he left. And that is what the world holds. It's not scary. I mean, of course you need to have your wits about you, but I think you'll be more pleasantly surprised than you think.
Yeah. The cup of tea is that universal, you know, warm embrace, you know, I love that so much. Well, Annika, this has been so fun. I'm so excited for everyone to hear your story, to get inspired, even if people who are listening who don't have kids yet, kind of like how you had that experience when you were younger and you kind of bookmarked it for later and you were like, I'm going to reach on this or pull on this memory when I do have children. I really hope that this is that kind of resource for those people. And I would love for you to share how people can connect with you, where they can find your book, all the things.
Sure. Yeah. So our book is sold pretty much anywhere books are sold. We're in a number of REI stores. We are in bookshop.org, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, library. You can request it from your libraries. And then we have a social media presence, mostly on Instagram. We're Wonder Year Travel.
Okay.
And then our website, we put up blogs 2 or 3 a month. We try to highlight different traveling families and community connectors, as well as kind of problem-solving tips and tricks for traveling families or would-be traveling families. And so that website is www.wonderyear.com.
Incredible. All right. I will link all of that to the show notes, and especially I'll link to where people can buy the book. And just thank you. Thank you for sharing your time. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the next adventure takes us all.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Transform with Travel podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of inspiration, adventure, and exploration. If you felt inspired by this episode, please rate and review in whatever streaming app you're listening from. This allows us to spread the word even more and continue to serve up weekly doses of adventure. As always, we'd love if you could share the episode with someone in your life who you think will benefit from this conversation. Thanks so much for listening. This is your reminder to get out there and keep on exploring.